for listening to Kinetic Podcast. This is a podcast dedicated to those who work in children's ministry and those who are committed to reaching this current generation. We hope what you're about to hear inspires and challenges you to be more effective in reaching kids for Christ. Thank you and enjoy the episode.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Kinetic Podcast. My name is Josh Combs. Thank you so much for listening, whether you're listening online at kineticpodcast.com or on iTunes. Thank you so much for joining on today's episode. Our first guest today is James Wang, and he is a children's minister and a children's pastor out of San Jose, California, and he has been in kids ministry for the past 20 years, and for the past 7 years, he's been a children's pastor, and he's doing some awesome things out there in San Jose, and we're just going to talk to him today and kind of find out some of the ideas and the methods that he uses to have a creative children's ministry. James, thank you so much for being on the podcast today.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Josh. I'm excited to be here.
So, James, I know you and I actually, we haven't met in person, which is crazy, but I know you and I, we've corresponded over social media, and
yeah.
I've had the opportunity to be on your webinar, which we'll talk about in a second. But from what I've known from others and just from what I've followed, you're a very creative guy, and you have an awesome kids ministry going on over there in San Jose. So just kind of talk to us, James, and just kind of give us a background about your passion in kids ministry, how you got started, and what's going on over there in your kids ministry.
Yeah, sure. So, you know, as you mentioned, I started a pretty long time ago. It's been about 20 years now, actually. That's kind of crazy to think about. I started when I was 14. You know, the church I went to was fairly small, and we needed more teachers. So I hopped in and I started teaching. When I was 14, I was teaching like 8 and 9 year olds. And I know that sounds crazy, but it was such a great opportunity for me. I'm so thankful I got that opportunity, and it's really helped me understand, because now the church that I'm at here at First Church San Jose, operations are pretty different. We have a team of about 60 volunteers, you know, like split kind of 30 on bus team, 30 in Sunday school. And it wasn't always this way. It's really grown to that. So, you know, some of the fun things I think that are worth talking about is just what that process has been like. Because the pre-bus ministry, our children's ministry looked really different. I mean, for us, you know, revival in a classroom was, wow, like you've got like 12 kids in this class. This is big. And that's been an interesting process. But for me, in that church that I grew up in, because it was just so small, you know, everybody had to really do the max. And kids were definitely included in that picture. So I have, from experience, just always had massive belief that kids can do some pretty awesome things in ministry. I'll give you an example. Like, I remember I was like, you know, 14 or 15, and we had set up this thing where we were doing community service, and we were helping out with something that was kind of like a local Salvation Army. It was called Ruth's House. And it was this kid, David. He was like probably 11 at most. And I remember telling him, hey, like, you've got to start setting these times up when we're going to go down there. You talk to the lady. You set it up. You know, you figure out when we as a team should go down there. And I just remember the first time being next to him on the phone, and he's like going and calling and setting it up. And they're just totally tickled that an 11-year-old is doing the scheduling, you know, for the team. And he did it. And he, you know, like after that, it was like, he's going to do it. He'll handle it. And we did that with a lot of the kids. So, you know, I believe it's like there's no reason that kids can't do this type of stuff, that kids can't outreach, that kids can't even, you know, why can't they teach Bible studies, right? Why can't they help with singing in kids' church and all those things? So we do that. You know, here at First Church, we actually have a lot of our kids like playing, you know, 10, 11, 12-year-olds, 13, 14-year-olds helping with music for our kids' church and things like that. So, you know, that's the type of stuff that gets me going.
That's awesome. That's awesome. And I think that's key. What you mentioned there is really having a habit of getting kids involved, you know, now.
Yeah.
and empowering kids, not waiting till they're, you know, in middle school or waiting till, you know, they're out of the kids ministry, but really empowering them now to be involved in ministry and to have a passion for souls, you know, at their young age. I think that's definitely key. So James, tell us a little bit about, I know you mentioned having a bus ministry, and I know some of our listeners have a bus ministry in their church that's going, and I know there's a lot that don't. And I know sometimes bus ministry, just those two words, can be intimidating to a lot of people, you know. And I've heard the phrase that the way that you spell bus ministry is W-O-R-K, you know. And when people hear about bus ministry, they think, oh, it's so much work, and you know, it's just, you know, there's a lot, you know, it's really a separate ministry that is run. But I know, you know, from my experience, bus ministry is very rewarding and it can be very effective. So just kind of tell us a little bit about your bus ministry at your church and how you got that started and just kind of what your philosophy is, you know, with that.
Yeah. So, man, I still remember the first time our first bus pulled into the parking lot. It did not look like a sight to behold, but it got us started. It smoked a little. It was a 28 passenger, and it was just this blue, I think either Air Force or Naval bus, and it had stickers all over the inside of it. It needed work, but you know, it was blue, so we started calling it the Blue Bomber, and that's the name of our bus ministry. We're the Blue Bomber Crew. And so, you know, some of the interesting dynamics that I got to see was, at that time, I was actually a bus captain before I became children's pastor. So, you know, I had a team under me. We had three captains, and we had all, you know, team members under there, anywhere from five under a captain to who knows, right? Some of the teams over the years eventually got pretty big. But, you know, the big thing is, I think looking back, the way I tried to really build our ministry is to make sure that there's a clear vision for how all sides do what they need to do. Here's what I mean by that, right? When we first got started, we started at first really small. We're like, oh man, we have eight kids on the bus. This is awesome. And then, you know, like it was just all hodgepodge. We're just getting out there. I laugh thinking about how rudimentary some of our outreach tactics were at the start. I mean, it was like me and another one of my friends, and we're just like out with a bucket of Tootsie Rolls. Like, that doesn't look sketchy. Two dudes and a bucket of Tootsie Rolls walking through your neighborhood.
Right, right.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, and we totally started changing it up. You know, we got more people involved, do like, just like, you know, fun events, candy lanes, other stuff like that. And, you know, I really encourage families, you know, like, get involved as a family, bring your kids. Seeing kids out there on the street when you're meeting kids, that totally changes the equation. You know, so we've introduced a lot of those things into what we do. But the big thing is, once we started to kick into our flow and we start packing that bus out, it was like, whoa, you know, now we're at 30 kids on the bus. Now we're at 70 kids on the bus. Now we're at, you know, 100 plus kids on the bus. Only problem is your Sunday school geared for that, right? So ours wasn't. And we would have, you know, some classes would have one, two teachers. And I remember we just didn't have enough classes. And one poor teacher, I still remember, she was just rocking the flannel graph. And she's like, Sean, Moses is doing this stuff. And there's just like a mass of humanity in the classroom, right? I've got like six kids kind of like crowding on like this beanbag and stuff like that, just because it just happened too fast. And, you know, it's a good problem. That is a wonderful problem to have. Because it's like, then you just got to ask the question, how do we solve it? You know, what do we need to do and what's the optimal structure? So you and I have kind of had like some like micro jam sessions when we were like, you're talking about that webinar on getting planning. You know, I think something I do not see enough in Apostolic Kidmin is use of small groups. Man, that makes you so scalable. You know, so things like that, you know, we changed some of the counts of like teachers and also split up more classrooms to make room for that stuff. It's just, you know, training teachers and helping them really feel equipped, skilled in what they're doing, that's a lot harder than training small group leaders. So, you know, that's a big piece of advice I would give. But hey, you know, like you were saying, sometimes people just feel like, oh my gosh, that sounds like so much work. And they avoid starting a bus ministry, but it's like, you have no idea what you're missing out on. You know, there's something so powerful about looking back a few years later and seeing, you look in your congregations like, that saint was one because we got their kids here. You know, that whole family comes here now, right? Like, it's like there's something so powerful about that. And I'm always telling my team, because we wear these, like, you know, like blue baseball jerseys with the Blue Bomber logo. It's like, you know, like, we always have to remember our goal is someday these kids that we're picking up will be sitting next to us wearing these shirts too. You know, and that's like, that's the target. And it's all about that, right? It's not like otherwise, you know, Boys and Girls Club is way more funded than we are, like all these other kids' programs. So, you know, I think that's a lot of the stuff I've learned. And also just some of, unfortunately, the border skirmishes that happen as these ministries start to blossom. So, you know, I don't know if that's something worth talking about, but maybe it's helpful for people to hear some of that stuff.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. And I like you said, it's definitely a good problem to have, you know, when we're reaching out and reaching out into the, you know, to our community, and we have these kids that are coming. And like you said, we need to set ourselves up, you know, for success. Yeah. We need to set ourselves up for, you know, structure ourselves in a way of, okay, you know, if we have 100 kids that come in tomorrow on a bus, you know, we need to be ready for that and be prepared for that. And I think that's key. So let's stay there for a second, James. How can kids ministers and kids ministries, obviously we all want to grow and we all want to, you know, go to that next level. How can we prepare ourselves for growth? And I know you just mentioned about doing the small groups, and I think there's definitely power in that of, you know, when you make things more intimate and you make things on a more accessible level to where kids, when they're coming in, they just don't feel like a number, but they can connect on more of a one-on-one with other kids and with teachers, you know, and I think that's important to have those kind of things. So what are some ways along with the small groups that we can, you know, as our kids ministries grow and as more families come in, how can we structure ourselves for the future and to be successful, more effective with more kids?
Yeah, you know, so maybe this is helpful. I kind of created a framework for myself and my team on how everything interrelates. And I feel like it's like a modularized structure. If you don't have parts of it, you're okay. But let me kind of give you an idea, right? So most people, they start with Sunday school. And, you know, you may not run kids' church. You may not run a bus ministry. You may not have, like, big plans for how to disciple and grow kids beyond Sunday school. But it's okay. That's okay. Start there, right? You know, and I think the question to ask is, how do we as teachers know that we're hitting the mark? Like, what's the goal and how do we measure our effectiveness? And so the goal that I throw out at my team is, it's like, you know what? Like, your mission statement is that what you guys do has to be able to equip kids with an understanding of the gospel and just, you know, like what they're supposed to do as Christians, at least on a high level, enough to understand what we believe in a fun and engaging enough way that it's like, even if you don't have bus ministry, that kids are so engaged and have so much fun that they will go that next step and actually invite their friends and family. Like, that's when you know you're winning, because if they don't have that level of confidence, like, you know, like if a restaurant's just, you know, it's not five star, you're probably not going to tell people about it. And so I don't think Sunday school would be any different, right? You know, like, we have Google, you know, like we can totally up our games beyond whatever curriculum we're using. I'm a big fan of object lessons and all types of things like that. I think that's so important, right? You know, like, because like what I was mentioning before, border skirmishes, but like, here's the problem. A few years into our bus ministry and Sunday school teams running together, you know, this is just human nature. It's really easy to shift a lot of assigned blame and be like, hey, you know, like, we're not growing any further because classes are boring. And then, you know, the Sunday school teachers will say, you know, like, it's like, man, like, if the bus team was just more consistent, like, they're just not attentive enough to make sure that all the kids are showing up. Or, you know, I went and visited somebody and they said they didn't show up and this kid was waiting for the bus. Hey, maybe all that's true. But, you know, like, something I've always messaged my team is work as if even without them that you'd be massively successful and we'll all be successful. Like, stop that type of stuff, right? So, you know, my mission statement to the bus team is kind of a flip opposite, which is you need to work in a way that is so fun and nurturing and consistent that no matter what, even if the class was not ragingly exciting and engaging, that they just say, you know, if I can just get on that bus, if I can just get to the gym where we are before class starts, somebody is going to care for me. Somebody's going to ask me how my week was, and they're going to invest in me, you know, and I'm going to have snacks, I'm going to have fun and all that other stuff. But, you know, like, we've got churches around us that have massive bucks. Like, they've got budgets. We do not. And we still have kids that show up just because, you know, like, the care factor's higher with us, right? So, you know, like, it's like both teams, when they really embrace that, that kicks out the blocks of excuses, you know? So, like, I would say if the teacher's really on par with seeing that vision, if you add into that one more layer of, okay, teachers are engaging, they're doing these things, they're you know, looking, and they're Googling, they're on Pinterest, they're in all these different areas, and they're trying to find these cool object lessons that match what they're doing. Like, why wouldn't a kid love that, right? Like, it's a whole lot better than just sitting on their couch on Sunday morning. You know, there's not even Saturday morning cartoons on Sunday. It's just whatever, right? Like, all these things that we battle, that these kids are dealing with in the neighborhood other than coming to us, they want something, you know, that's like that. And so, you know, that's my challenge normally to the team. And where small groups fit into the picture is, you know, you encapsulized it really, really well, which is, you know, I instilled small groups onto my team because I looked my team in the eye and I said, guys, you know, the goal has to be that if I looked from the perspective of any child this morning, that there's no way that they walk off this campus and just shrug their shoulders and just say that I was just a number, right? And the traditional way oftentimes of doing things, teachers are massively outnumbered, sometimes, you know, like 15 to 30 to 1. And it's impossible. It's not humanly possible to give enough love and attention. And it also decreases so many of the problems that occur. Like, a kid's probably acting up because just needed to get the wiggles out and get to tell somebody what they did with their week, you know, or they've had a really traumatic week, they had a really fun week, and it's on their mind, you know. Small group leaders are the release valve for that. Also, they're the ones that are ears to the floor knowing, man, there's like a serious family issue in this family, and they're the ones that can give the teaching team, care pastors, you know, other ministry within the church the heads up of what's happening with these families. I just feel like it's like been such a powerful strategy for us to really increase how to care and nurture for these kids. But it's like that final leg where, hey, you know, for church kids, you're driving home in the minivan, mom and dad are asking, hey, what'd you learn in class? And so the kids know, like, well, mom and dad are going to ask me after church, I should at least listen to some of this. If it's not like the world's most exciting thing, they'll still have that.
Right.
But who does that for bus kids? Nobody. Right. But our small group leaders during snack are asking those questions. Well, hey, what'd you learn? You know, what does that mean to you? What are you going to do with that? Like, do you understand it? Do you have questions? And so, like, surrogate parents, you know, in being able to enforce and make sure recall is happening and help kids in that way. So there's, you know, there's like two other blocks of like really where kids church fits into the picture and also where like discipleship fits into the picture. But yeah, you know, I don't know if you want to delve into that stuff right now.
No, that's awesome, man. That's incredible. I think you've given myself included and our listeners just some great information. I really like what you said there about the care factor. And
yeah,
that as our kids' ministries grow and of course, you know, and I know as a kids minister and as a kids evangelist, you know, sometimes I have a tendency on really to focus on that kids' church experience, you know, and which is nothing wrong with that. But, you know, we want kids to have an awesome kids' church experience where they come in and it's just high energy and there's lights and music and you know, there's action songs and the lesson is captivating and there's an awesome altar call. And those things are all important, and we need those. But we need to also talk about, well, what happens before, you know, what happens before or what happens after kids' church? You know, what's the follow-up there? What's the connection that is made, you know, with those kids, you know, whether it be small group or in your case, whether it be in the bus ministry and obviously there's other ways we can talk about it where, you know, visiting kids during the week, you know, just things like that really it all makes a difference in raising that care factor. So I think that's awesome. I think that's incredible. And I think that, you know, we need to always keep that in mind in kids ministries that, hey, a lot of these kids, they come from broken homes, and the church can step in and be the ones that really care for them and love them. So that's awesome. As we wrap up, James, I know that you on the side, I know that you also have an awesome website that you run, a resource, kids ministry resource that you run. Kind of tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, sure. Okay, so my site is nextlevelkidmin.com. And you know, here's why I started. I think it is awesome that there are conferences out there. But, you know, if you miss the conference in a year, it's okay, what are you going to do? And for me, I was always trying to figure out, how do I get my team to the next training, the next conference? You know, what's available out there? And so, my wish is to kind of, like, break that with the, you know, using digital media. So I've done some different webinars. I've got some other ones lined up. And the whole idea is, you know, if the community gives us some ideas and what is it that you care about? And also, a lot of it is fed by just what I see locally as needs for my team, my teachers, my bus ministry, of just what are they doing? Where can we help there? And maybe it helps somebody else. But it's been a lot of fun on the webinars. People are just asking all kinds of questions, and it's been really exciting being able to bring that stuff together. So, you know, there's a lot of the community I just haven't really gotten to build out yet beyond the webinar piece. But the real vision is, you know, it's just a place that we can park ourselves, because not everybody's on Facebook, not everybody's on Instagram, not everybody's on Twitter, and there's all these disparate conversations happening. And so I just thought, hey, you know, if there's certain central themes, specifically around Sunday school, bus, and kids' church, that, you know, people want to have a place parked that's neutral for all that stuff, then that's what I want Next Level Kid Men to be. So, yeah, that's kind of the plug for that.
Well, James, thank you so much for being on the Kinetic Podcast. And if you'd like to check out what he does, you can go to nextlevelkidmen.com. He has a lot of great resources on there. So, James Wang, thank you again for being on the podcast. Our next speaker, it's a huge privilege to have him. It's very exciting to have this pastor from Texas. And my colleague, Rick, is going to introduce our next speaker. Rick, take it away.
Thank you, Josh. I'm very excited today to introduce our listeners to Pastor Rob McKee. He's been pastoring a very successful, thriving church in Katy, Texas. And Pastor McKee, welcome.
Thank you, man. It's great to be here with you guys.
Well, we're excited to have you on board Kinetic Podcast. I wanted to ask you, now you've been pastoring in Katy, Texas for a long time now with your wife, Sharon McKee. How long have y'all been pastoring there?
We started 15 years ago, and we've been in Katy for all that time. It's been an adventure, and then about a year ago, we took on another campus in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, and in Lewisville, just north of Dallas.
I know that's an exciting expansion of your church. Now, your roots are that you grew out of one of the first churches in Texas that had a church in a day.
That's correct. We were Home Missions Church. There was actually another church, actually several other churches that were there in Katy, Texas. There was another church that was there. I got a call from my pastor, Brother Kilgore, about the possibility of coming and taking over a small work. And we opted to start a brand new work and dissolve that church. And so we did that about 15 years ago. We became what then was called a Home Missions Church. Now it's North America Missions Church. But it's a we immediately had need of a building. And so we applied and got a church in a day building. And it was just an amazing, amazing event for us, set us forward about 10 years. And so one of the greatest things that happened to us early on.
Yes, sir. And what's so exciting about just viewing your ministry over the years, starting as a church in a day missions work and then growing it into the massive apostolic ministry that it is today is an amazing journey. One of the other things that I wanted to make note of on the podcast today is the app that you have, that's the Apostolic Revival Radio.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Revival Radio. It's available on the Apple App Store for all iPhones, and as well as Android, Google Play Store. You can also listen to it online by going to revivalradio.net. And Revival Radio, we had no idea what we were looking at when we first started it. We originally put it together or built it for a lot of our transient members. We have folks that are on the road, truck drivers, folks that are traveling cross country. And that was the initial idea for it, but we were not really prepared for the listening audience to quickly join. Right now we have over 173,000 listeners in 190 countries. And it has been a tremendous blessing, not only to others, but to our local church. And we put a lot of our own messages on this, but we've also been asked to host other conferences and camp meetings and youth conventions and youth camps, different things around the country. And so we do that. It's a ministry of the church. It's not a moneymaker. It's simply something that we do to get the gospel out there. And so far it's been something that we're very proud of. We have, for example, we learned a few years ago that we have a large listening audience in communist China. And folks that we know do not have the freedoms that we have here, and yet God has opened up a door for us to share the apostolic message there. So we're very proud of it.
Yes, sir. And the great vision that you've had as a pastor is very evident, and I'm thankful for your passion to share the gospel. Now, about children's ministry, let me ask you a couple of questions regarding children's ministry. Tell us about past and present involvement in children's ministry and how that has affected your role as a pastor.
Well, I think every pastor has a desire for children's ministry if they have children of their own. It's always been a passion. Many, many churches have been built around children's ministry. I know the struggles of a lot of home missions pastors that have been involved in home missions and trying to help home missionaries for years. And it's a challenge, man, especially when you're dealing with staff and limitations of staff. A lot of smaller churches are limited in what they can offer. They don't have the budget to buy expensive equipment for their children's ministry. Maybe they're limited on their space, Sunday school rooms. And it is a challenge. But I believe that when it comes to children's ministry, developing a staff, developing a strong team is one of the most important responsibilities of the church itself, more than really any other ministry. It followed the first and the greatest of the commandments, to love the Lord thy God and know that he's one God. Our greatest responsibility was to teach this truth and pass it on to the next generation. Doesn't matter how great a church is or how powerful a church is, if they don't give it to the next generation, then that church will become irrelevant in a very short time. So it's a passion of mine to help pastors to know that they don't have to have a lot of money. They can do a whole lot with a little. And as far as our Sunday school starting off, you mentioned already Church in a Day. When we first got our Church in a Day building, the size that we were at the time, we needed all sanctuary. So we only had a small Sunday school room that we were also using as a nursery. So we didn't have the option of having individual Sunday school rooms. We had about 9 kids at the time. This was roughly about 13 years ago. And so we took those 9 kids and we shoved them in what was the nursery, moved all the furniture out into the hallway during Sunday school. As soon as Sunday school was over, moved all the furniture back in. And that was our kids' church Sunday school experience. And it was a challenge, but we eventually were able to purchase some modular buildings and other things that helped give us the room to grow. And so that's kind of how it started. And now it's a little bit different. Now we depend completely on a staff who run the Sunday school and do a tremendous job. And we've also brought in some great helps and evangelists, different folks that are specialists and they've added to the excellence of what we're trying to do. I don't believe any pastor is completely satisfied with their Sunday school department or any ministry for that matter, but I believe there's always room for improvement. But that's where we are right now.
Amen. So what are your expectations as a pastor for your children's ministry?
Expectations, I believe, are that actually there's just a few. First of all, the expectations of the staff itself are to create an environment that's fun and exciting where they can learn about God. And then, of course, to teach the five principles that I believe are the most important when it comes to developing the next generation. They've got to, first of all, these children at some point in Sunday school have got to learn who God is. They've got to know what it takes to be saved and how to stay saved. And then number three, they've got to have an understanding of the mercy of God and where to run, because unfortunately, we all at times fall short. We're going to make mistakes in life, and I want those kids to know that church is a safe place to run back to. And then we have to have a good understanding of faithfulness to church, why it matters, the importance of fellowship, you know, preaching and worship. We did a study several years ago and listed every family that had started with our church but we're no longer members. These were the people that were active members within our church, and yet at some point along the way they had drifted away. And so beside each of these names, we wrote the reason why we felt that they were no longer apart. Some had disagreements with doctrine. Some had been moved away because of their jobs. But there were a few reasons that quickly became evident, and they were the most, common reasons why people backslide and walk away from church. The number one reason, actually there are two reasons that we focused on and they were so close in nature that we focused on both of them and tried to incorporate them in all of our classes, including all of our Sunday school. Number one, people got offended. People will at times be offended. And so that was number one. Number two was there were just natural reasons why people miss church. Excusable absence is what we called it. You know, everyone's going to have an opportunity to miss church. They miss church because of work. They miss church because of family. They miss church because people get sick and family members get sick. And unfortunately, when two or three of those things happen, in a sequence and suddenly they've been out of church now for 3 weeks in a row, it's very easy to just not attend that fourth week. And so what we tried to do is take those two reasons why people stop attending church and try to give answers or solutions. And I've instructed all of our teachers back then, this is what you need to incorporate. What do you do when you're offended? And, how do you handle offense? And then secondly, what do you do when it's been two or three weeks when you've been out of church? How do you respond to that? And so we try to incorporate a lot of that in Sunday school. Sunday school for years has been sort of a specialist ministry, and we get the question from some of our leaders, you know, what are the things that, for example, your teen class, what do they need to know that is unique to their age group? Or what do the singles, if that would be under the umbrella of Sunday school ministry, what do they need to know? Or even children, what do they need to know that is that they would be dealing with over anyone else in the church? And so we can come up with a list of answers, and we can give a list of subjects. Well, you know, they need to know this, or they need to have a grasp of this particular subject. But the truth is, if someone is faithful to church, they're going to eventually hear every message, every subject covered at some point by someone from behind the pulpit. And so our goal has got to be keep them coming to church, keep them every week, just keep pouring into them. There's not going to be one Sunday school class, for the most part, that's going to disciple a new family or a child. It's going to take weeks and weeks and weeks of developing relationships and building them up. You will not be able to see the growth. Church growth works through the law of retrogression. Have you ever heard of the law of retrogression?
I never have.
Okay, the law of retrogression basically is how the tide comes in and out. And it's very hard to spot growth through the law of retrogression. And but it, basically, the tide comes in 3 feet, goes out 2 feet, comes in 4 feet, goes back out, 5 feet. And so over time, you see the advance. Over time, you see the church grow, or the Sunday school department grow, or the children, just you see them begin to grow. But you're never going to see that Sunday to Sunday. It just takes time. And so for every Sunday school teacher out there, every children's ministry worker out there who's frustrated because you had a great week last week and then everything fell apart this week, be encouraged. It's okay. That's just the tide going out. Next week is going to be better. And it's hard to see growth in short-term glimpses. So anyway, so that's kind of my view on what I expect, I guess, out of those Sunday school teachers.
Right, and that is amazing. One of the things that I think was very key that you had mentioned was making sure that the children feel like the church is a safe place.
Right.
And I think that's very important as a pastor. I'm very pleased to hear you say that's an expectation, and especially since you've effectively grown your children's ministry and from the perspective that you're doing it. Last question is
Rick, can I just mention one thing about that subject as well? In traveling around as a children's evangelist, and I traveled for about 8 years as a full-time children's evangelist, one of the things that I got to experience was a mixed message sent from a lot of Sunday school workers and children's pastors. You guys have probably witnessed this, and every Sunday school director or teacher is probably going to relate with this. You're going to have a few Sunday school kids that will test your limits. They're going to challenge you. Discipline is a great way to offend a child. And you've got to be very careful about discipline. Of course, in our age, you've got to be careful about it. But at the same time, you have a responsibility to keep the class moving forward. And so one of the things that I think every Sunday school teacher needs to keep in mind is that some of our children are not being disruptive because they're full of the devil. There's a few reasons. One is they've never learned how to pay attention. But secondly, sometimes they're bored. And we can't put all of the blame on them. Sometimes we offer them something that's completely boring. You haven't prepared for it. And you expect the kids to be amazed by something that you haven't made amazing. And so I want to challenge you, if you are week after week struggling with kids that are talking and cutting up, don't become discouraged. Let it challenge you to become more entertaining than that kid that's sitting next to them. And there's ways of disciplining that do not cause offense. And when you're dealing with with some of these bus kids that are coming from unchurched homes, your definition of respect and theirs is completely different. So be patient with them. We have several members on our paid staff today that were bus kids, and they have become amazing saints of God and leaders in the church because somebody was patient with them and made Sunday school fun. Don't be afraid to be fun. If you're losing the attention of the kids, if you don't have their attention, you're not teaching them anything. So stop what you're teaching. It would be better to teach a little and have a great time than to pull your hair out because of discipline issues and offend kids in the process. So I'm sorry. Yeah. Go ahead.
That is great perspective and from your experience, and that's exactly what we're looking for. Last question is this, Brother McKee. How can children's ministry have an impact on the church as a whole? How important has it been to you, I guess, is kind of what we're looking at, the whole picture.
Well, it was the greatest source of church growth for us early on. Now we can do other events such as block parties and big events. They always include elements for children. But early on, anytime I wanted to have a crowd. My nature is to be a list maker. I make lists constantly, and I like to see what works, what doesn't work. Every church I ever attended, I made a list about that church. What doesn't work here, but what I feel does work here. One of the things that I believe that really helped us early on to move forward was when attendance was struggling, I felt like, you know, maybe we had a down Sunday as far as our attendance, I would try to plan something for the kids the following Sunday. And if I could get the kids on the platform, if I could have a kids choir, and we had one early on, I would guarantee that we would have at least 8 to 10 visitors. This is when we were running about 60 or 70. Could guarantee at least 10 to 8 visitors or guests just to come and watch their kids perform. And so we tried to use the kids choir as a way of pulling in some of the parents. And we tried to keep things fresh and new. There is a no one catches momentum like kids. And I'm not sure if you guys have ever heard of the formula for momentum, but there's an actual formula. I believe it was, I hate to name the university because I'm not certain about it, but they did a study on the subject of momentum and what creates momentum. And this may help a Sunday school teacher or a children's pastor that's looking to create momentum in their Sunday school but doesn't know how to do it. Momentum does not just happen. You can create it. You can plan on it. Momentum is created by anything new. There's an almost imperceptible sound that some people make when they walk into a room and they see something. It's kind of a drawback of air. It's this sound. And anytime that happens, it's the foundation for momentum. People are drawn by new things. I heard of a pastor several years ago who was struggling in his attendance, and they were in a long, drawn-out building program but could not come up with the money because the crowd was down and there were permit issues they couldn't pay for, and attendance was dropping quickly. So he couldn't afford anything else, so he went out and rented a bulldozer, started shoving dirt around on the property, and it was a small town, and could not start building anything, but started shoving dirt around the property. Didn't even know how to operate a bulldozer. But everybody in the town saw that something was happening on the property, and his attendance the next Sunday was up by 20%, and they were able to kind of get over that hump. Anything new by itself creates momentum. So if you're in a Sunday school class or a children's ministry, and you've got the same decor, the same program, everything, try something new. This university that did this study, they discovered, and they tracked all of these, what they call breakout companies, companies that flatlined for years, and suddenly there was this explosion of growth. And they went back to the point that everything changed, and they discovered one of three things. There was either a new leader, there was a new vision, or there was a new product. And when it comes to church work, there, you know, of course, we really don't have products. We have programs. So sometimes when we get a new leader in Sunday school or a new leader in a class, we can, you know, the new leader, if they're not careful, they can let it go to their head and think, well, man, our attendance is up. Things are going great. But the truth is, that's natural. You got to have some more new next Sunday. That's a natural part of momentum. You're going to have momentum when there's a new leader by itself. And then, but it will help for the short term. A new program is a new, you know, anything new that you create in Sunday school. This week, kids, we're going to do something brand new. You start a new program by itself, it will create momentum. And then the third part of that initial phase of momentum is anytime there's a new vision. When you cast the new vision as a Sunday school superintendent or a children's pastor, and you cast that vision out, for example, giving five elements that you're going to teach in your Sunday school, that new vision is going to create momentum with your Sunday school teachers. And so that will create momentum for the short term. Then you have what continues momentum. The second thing is improvement and significant improvement. You've got to create significant improvement. And then the third thing, of course, is an expectation of new when you've done the first two for a long period of time. So, but those are the elements of momentum and keeping that Sunday school moving forward. That's how it's helped us. Anytime we needed momentum, we would use the Sunday school to create something new every Sunday. And we would always ask the teachers, what are we doing new this week? And it helped speed up the momentum of the church until we finally reached that place where people did not want to go on vacation. And they didn't even know how to put it into words. They would say things like, well, our church is awesome. Our church is exciting. I don't want to miss a service. But that's exactly what we were doing. We were always introducing something new. And so it's a strategy that any pastor can use, any church, any department leader can use to create momentum in their individual departments. So that's how it's helped us.
Amen. Well, that's an amazing testimony of your experience and how you've studied and researched and found ways to create growth and sustain momentum. How would people that are pastors out there and children's ministries, what's the best way to get in touch with the Pentecostals of Katy?
There's several ways. We're in the process right now of a brand new website launch. It will be thepentecostals.today, and it's not live yet, but they can reach us that way. Go to our website. There's contacts there. You can call the church office 281-829-2332 reach us, you know, through our church office. We have, of course, our emails are pastor@thepok, also pastor@kaboom.com. I'm sorry, pastor@kaboom.today. Forgive me. pastor@kaboom.today. And they can reach us that way. We're out there. Just a couple of Google searches and you'll find us. Out on the you can contact us directly through our app, Revival Radio. You can contact us through any of our links of our videos on YouTube. We have a YouTube channel that we try to feed continuously. And so there's lots of ways to reach us, just a couple of clicks on a keyboard, and you can find us.
And you're also on Twitter as well.
Yes, sir, I am. You can follow me on Twitter, Pastor, I believe it's Pastor Rob McKee. And we're also on Facebook, Instagram. If there's any others out there, chances are pretty good we're on those as well. My wife and
I. That's excellent. Thank you so much. Pastor McKee, it's really been an honor to have you on today. Thank you for the great insight that you've shared with us today. It's going to be invaluable to our listeners.
Well, thank you so much, and I just I am honored to be a part of what you guys are doing, and it's exciting to share.
Amen. I'm going to turn the call back over to our host, Josh Combs.
All right. Thank you, Rick. And Pastor McKee, thank you again for being on the podcast. And also thank you to James Wang for being our first speaker as well. Thank you to everyone who's listened today. We hope this episode has helped you and encouraged you in being more effective in kids ministry. Continue to follow all of our updates, kineticpodcast.com and on iTunes, Kinetic Podcast. Until next time, God bless.
Thank you again for listening to Kinetic Podcast. We hope you enjoyed today's episode. Until the next time, continue to check out our website for updates at kineticpodcast.com.